yesterday's attacks on other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
The United Nations, an organization to deal with peace, security, development, human rights, and humanitarian affairs. Whether or to what extent this international body has been a success story is an open question. Critics argue that the UN's independence is its Achilles heel, an issue that has come to the foreground since Donald Trump took office as the President of the United States of America. As the largest contributor to the UN, the country pays 22% of the $5.4 billion core budget and 28.5% of the $7.9 billion peacekeeping budget. In May, Trump called the U.S. share of the UN budgets unfair, threatening to slash it. Soon came a desperate reaction from the spokesman for the UN Secretary General.
We're obviously studying the budget, going through some of the numbers. I think from where we stand, I think looking at the budget as it's proposed now would make it simply impossible for the UN to continue all of its essential work advancing peace, development, human rights, and humanitarian assistance around the world.
Although Trump's bid highlighted the negative effects of the UN's economic dependence on a single state, many began to scratch their heads. What does the U.S. actually stand to gain from such a move? A month earlier, during a lunch with U.N. Security Council ambassador at the White House, Trump had voiced his main concerns, Syria and North Korea.
I encourage the Security Council to come together and take action to counter all of these many threats. On Syria, the Council failed again this month to respond to Syria's use of chemical weapons. A great disappointment. I was very disappointed by that. The status quo in North Korea is also unacceptable, and the Council must be prepared to impose additional and stronger sanctions on North Korean nuclear and ballistic missile programs.
Trump's policy toward the world body was clear. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. A few months later, in August, the UN Security Council unanimously adopted a U.S.-drafted resolution imposing sanctions on North Korea.
This resolution is the single largest economic sanctions package ever leveled against the North Korean regime. This is the most stringent set of sanctions on any country in a generation.
Since his election, Trump has sought to discredit the UN and questioned whether his country gets value for its money. According to media reports, Trump believes that the UN is just a club for people to get together and talk and have a good time. And some of his men maintain the organization is contrary to democracy, liberty, and above all, Israel.
And let me assure you right here and right now, President Donald Trump's commitment to Israel is sacrosanct. Congress's commitment to Israel is sacrosanct.
Under President Trump, the United States will no longer allow the United Nations to be used as a forum for invective against Israel or the West.
Although Trump claims he's going to bring peace back to the Middle East, he has shown no tolerance of any Palestinian role in the UN mechanism. In February this year, the United States objected to the appointment of a former Palestinian prime minister to lead the UN political mission in Libya, saying it was doing so to support its ally, Israel. In fact, a primary concern of the present US administration is what they call the UN's bias in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. The current US threats to cut its financial contributions to the UN must be seen to a great extent as a leverage to reshape UN policy on the issue. In the last month of 2016, a Security Council vote declared Israeli settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem illegal. As soon as Trump took office, the Washington Post ran the headline, Trump administration could cut funding to the United Nations. Adding, the Trump administration is proposing a 40% reduction in voluntary U.S. support for the UN and an end to wasteful and counterproductive spending that does not serve U.S. interests. The proposal was in fact a strong reaction to the Security Council vote against the Israeli settlement building in the West Bank. Over the past months, Trump has shown that he is hell-bent on supporting the Israeli regime no matter what. In a recent pro-Israeli move, the U.S. declared it would withdraw from UNESCO at the end of next year to take a stand on what it said was anti-Israel bias.
Unfortunately, this venue has become politicized, undermining the work of UNESCO across its mandate. It's become a venue for anti-Israel bias, and unfortunately, we are taking the decision to withdraw from UNESCO at this time.
For years, 12. World.
The decision was made after UNESCO designated the Old City of Al-Khalil in the West Bank a Palestinian World Heritage Site.
Given all this, the committee should take its responsibilities according to Article 11 of the Convention, inscribe Hebron al-Khalil Old City on the World Heritage List in danger, and publicize it immediately.
In fact, as Irina Bokova, Director General of UNESCO, said indirectly, Israel is sacrosanct in the Trump administration.
When the rise of violent extremism and terrorism calls for new long-term responses for peace and security, to counter racism and anti-Semitism, to fight ignorance and discrimination. At the time when the fight against violent extremism calls for renewed investment in education, in dialogue among cultures to prevent hatred, it is deeply regrettable that the United States should withdraw from the United Nations agency leading these issues. At the time when conflicts continue to tear apart societies across the world, it is deeply regrettable for the United States to withdraw from the United Nations agency promoting education for peace and protecting culture under attack.
On the other hand, regardless of some rather inconsequential moves to support Palestine, the UN has never taken any serious action to support the nation, which has been under an Israeli occupation for decades. The organization is well aware that the U.S. is its lifeline, and that's why it tries not to rub it the wrong way. And perhaps that's the reason the Palestinian issue has never been highlighted in the UN General Assembly.
By highlighting that after the General Assembly and not during it, it doesn't have to listen to a lot of the debate and criticism of the members of the General Assembly, who are more supportive of the Palestinians than you will ever find in the Security Council. So by avoiding as much as possible a discussion of this issue in the General Assembly, the United Nations is essentially using a coward's approach to all of this and bringing it up to make itself appear as a serious body, when in fact it is speaking to an empty chamber rather than to the General Assembly.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas recently criticized the UN for failing to implement 12 Security Council resolutions since 1967.
رغم من إصدار قرار بإصدار مجلس الأمن 12 قرارا ضد الاستيطان الإسرائيلي للأراضي الفلسطينية المحتلة منذ العام 67 إلا أن عدم تنفيذ أي من هذه القرارات أدى إلى دفع إسرائيل للتمادي في استكمال مخططاتها للاستيلاء على مزيد من الأرض في الضفة الغربية بما فيها القدس الشرقية.
As long as a big international organization like the UN, with 193 member states, is so dependent on a single state, namely the US, justice and other universal values should be sought elsewhere.
her friends. She's made so many friends here.